We're not going to raise the debt ceiling. What's going to happen? Oh, and then miraculously at the last minute, we've raised the debt ceiling. Happy days. Everything will carry on.
You have to opt out of the very thing that fuels these assholes, and that is their money. Stop using their product.
Like, if things blow up and the government gets desperate, like, and you have Bitcoin that's accessible to them, you can kiss it goodbye.
If you're busy worrying about what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are bickering about, I think you're missing the bigger picture here, that you need to get out of the way of this.
This is the end, guys. There's no other way to explain it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony with me. Gentlemen, this is a wild week. Let's jump into the news. We're going to get to Trump and Elon at the end, so stick around. But first, we have Trump and Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, agreeing on something. So Trump said, "I'm very pleased to announce that after all these years, I agree with Senator Elizabeth Warren on something. The debt limit should be entirely scrapped to prevent an economic catastrophe." I just want to really quickly contrast this with a 2013 tweet that Donald Trump had. "I cannot believe the Republicans are extending the debt ceiling. I am a Republican and I am embarrassed." So Trump has, first of all, changed his tune in the last 12 or so years. But more importantly, we have Republicans and Democrats overtly in agreement that they should just be able to take on as much debt and spend as much as they want. Rick, I'm going to let you take this one first. I'll chime in. But Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts after that.
Well, I mean, what can you say? Color me surprised, right? This really isn't news. Like, everyone should have, anyone who's done any reading about this or who's into Bitcoin, I think will have anticipated this. I don't think Bitcoin Twitter is like suddenly in shock that they're going to raise the debt ceiling. You know, they do this consistently every year, and they kind of play this weird game of like fake chicken, like, oh no, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling. What's going to happen? Oh, and then miraculously at the last minute, we've raised the debt ceiling. Happy days. Everything will carry on. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Trump's in between a rock and a hard place, isn't he? Like, it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or any politician. They're in a situation that they can't win. You've got two options. Option one, default on all the debt because America's insolvent, just like the rest of the world. Or you print money. Now, they're always going to print money because the other option is just politically, you know, political suicide. So they're always going to print money. It is quite funny that he gave Elizabeth Warren a shout out, though. I don't know if that was the best idea politically, because if you ever find yourself agreeing with Elizabeth Warren, that's definitely a sign to just stop, take stock of the situation and think, could I be being a massive idiot here? But yeah, I mean, look, in sort of some defense of Trump, he has no choice. He has absolutely no choice but to print more money or just completely blow up the whole debt bubble. So yeah, they're going to print more money. This is exactly why you've got to be in Bitcoin, and exactly why, actually, you know, you have these two political sides, don't you? These two factions constantly warring with each other, trying to convince you that they're the party that's going to fix the US or fix any country, right? And what people, I think, need to realize is that you don't have a choice. It's all the illusion of choice, because neither party is going to help you. They are going to continue to print more money. They are going to continue stealing from you. They're going to continue funding the military-industrial complex. They're probably not going to release any files that you might want to see of any wrongdoing. So, you know, don't be disappointed that politicians keep breaking promises and making things worse. That's what they do. So, yeah. The money printer is about to go, brr, you've got to get yourself into Bitcoin and get the hell out of the way. We all know how this ends. You can't taper a Ponzi. You can't stop this train. I mean, there must be a million sayings about this now. Let's see what happens next.
Tony, you've never experienced anything like this before. What's your take on the government just abandoning any semblance of responsibility?
Well, I'm surprised anyone thought there actually was a debt ceiling. You know, the theatrics behind this debt ceiling is too much, man. I mean, now they just finally said, okay, you know, we might as well skip that little formality. Now we'll just remove it permanently because you're at the end. This is the end, guys. There's no other way to explain it. Now it's going to be a free flow, and the American people are about to get bleeped in ways they have never been bleeped before because of this. So if they don't shut down your bank account, well, in the US, they don't have to. They just have to render your purchasing power right all the way down to zero. And that's absolutely what's going to happen. It's all a game. It's all distractions. All this drama that comes out, you know, every other day now is just to keep people divided and distracted. Like in the famous word of, what's his name, George Carlin, it's one big club and you ain't in it. So that's what we're seeing, man. All you have to do is start paying attention to understand that they have no government. There is no justice system. You have a powerful criminal cartel now whose power has grown too much over, you know, a very long period of time, where the world has just been quiet and complacent, thinking, you know, they just have to keep switching sides in order to get their problems resolved. It's never going to work. And sadly, still too many people don't understand this. So we need more education, but I don't know if we have enough time on our hands in order to avoid what's about to happen. The only way to put an end to this, you need to boycott these groups. You need to boycott the institutions. You need to boycott corrupt governments. You need to boycott crimes, murders, wars. You need to boycott all of this. And that's in the power of 8 billion people. Today, as of 2008, we have that option. You have to opt out of the very thing that fuels these assholes, and that is their money. Stop using their product. Instantly, you castrate them and neuter their power. But as long as people still think they need the dollar or some other worthless piece of toilet paper, these guys remain relevant. The goal here is to remove them, because that's the only way the world is going to move forward. Otherwise, expect these horror stories every single day. It's never going to stop. It's almost humiliating being like a human being, knowing that, you know, you're letting a bunch of, you know, criminal psychopaths just run your world. Like, what kind of life are you living? Like, are you just praying like they leave you alone and you can do your little, you know, dorky little daily tasks and that's how happy you are? That's not how it's supposed to be. So it's up to 8 billion people to do their role. We have the power. They don't. They just distract you into thinking you don't have any power. But it takes a 30-second decision to completely obliterate that mold. I hope people do it, man. But, you know, it's really sad to see. But brace yourself. The dollar is going to get wrecked in a way you've never seen coming.
Tony, I think you raise a really good point. I think there are still so many people who are seeing this mirage of like the debt ceiling and what politicians can or can't do or what they're fighting over. And it just doesn't exist. I mean, they always, to Rick's point, raise the debt ceiling at the last minute. I'm not necessarily sure that this impacts government spending immensely. They're already spending what, like $1 trillion every 3 months or something like that. I mean, it's insane. I think this just ends maybe the political, you know, nonsense that happens every time they have to raise the debt ceiling. But people think that that's a real fight that's being had. And I mean, literally millions of Americans jump on Team Red or Team Blue, depending on who's in power and who controls, you know, whether or not this, you know, the debt ceiling limit is raised. And it's just insane. Like, you're right. The answer is just opt out. Like, we didn't have that choice years and years ago. Now we do. Buy Bitcoin, take it in self-custody, because otherwise it's still within the confines of the legacy system. It's still extractable in some way by government. And people just need to wake up to, they need to find the signal in the very, very obvious sea of noise, in my view. Alrighty, guys. So Brian Armstrong, we're not really ragging on him today, although I think he maybe missed part of the point. He said, if U.S. debt isn't controlled, Bitcoin could replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. So here's one way I've heard it framed that I think is better than this is that we don't have a debt problem. We have a spending problem, right? And the challenge, I think, Rick, maybe you alluded to it first, is that no one's going to do the things we need to do to cut spending. It's Social Security, it's Medicare, it's Medicaid, it's military, you know, it's the military industrial complex. So that obliterating those, or at least beginning to like make very progressive steps toward obliterating them over some period of time, like that would begin to resolve some of the alleged debt crisis. It's really a spending problem. The interesting thing to me is that I wish I'd saved this tweet. I think I saw something about they were like, I don't know, introducing Fartcoin, reintroducing or marketing Fartcoin on Coinbase, like in the midst of like the Trump Elon stuff and, you know, the debt ceiling limit, you know, being obliterated. So he doesn't have a lot of credibility with me at this point, at least not as a Bitcoiner. But Tony, I'd be curious how you'd respond to Brian's tweet here.
Well, he's obviously panicked. he may run a shitcoin casino, but he's not stupid. He sees the writing on the wall just like we do. And unfortunately, there's nothing he can say or do in order to change this, because, you know, the spending is not going to stop. The U.S. has already defaulted. It's just not official. But the fact that you can't pay your debt, by definition, means you're done. I heard this tune in Lebanon many years ago. Every day, every day a new politician would come out publicly, formally announce, no way, we would never default. It's never going to happen. Give it enough time, then you see it happen. And then even after it happens, they deny it. No, it's not really a real default. We'll fix it like the next day or the next day. And in the meantime, people are like killing each other on the street because they have access to nothing anymore. So it's all a charade, man. It's all a charade. There is nothing real, especially when it comes to money. And the sooner people realize this, again, the power is in the people's hands. But the people need to open their eyes and act. You know, like you can't pretend, you know, have the ostrich syndrome, put your head in the ground and assume everything will go away tomorrow. It won't. So, I don't know, man. For me, the sirens are off full blast on this.
Yeah, I agree. Rick, what do you make of the fact that Brian Armstrong's been in Bitcoin and crypto for a long time, but they've never adopted like a reserve strategy? I'm sure he's a wealthy guy. I'm sure he owns, you know, a good chunk of Bitcoin. But in the fact that he's just now raising the alarm on this, like this hasn't been a problem since forever, you know, since 1971. What's your take?
What can I say? Well, I mean, the first thing you started off by saying, like, you think it's more of a spending problem than a debt problem. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because you guys are like $38 trillion in debt, and I think that's a pretty big debt problem. Well, and yeah, I would also point out, by the way, that it all starts with debt, because the money itself is created as debt. The whole problem spans from this ability to create money out of nothing, right? And create money as debt, but. Look, I mean, that's all just semantics. We all know the problem is, right? You're never going to pay all this money back ever. And Brian Armstrong, I guess, has noticed that just like everyone else. I mean, here's the thing. It's funny because we talk about these same topics over and over, but this has been the problem for the last 10 years. It's what Bitcoiners have been talking about for 10 years, is that quite obviously this Ponzi scheme is reaching the end of its life. And that might be in the next 3 years. It might be in 10 years. And no one can really predict exactly when it pops. But with all this craziness, you do, me personally, I've never seen things so crazy as now. And I really pay attention to this stuff. So even I'm getting to the point where I'm a bit shocked, like, holy cow, right? And I sometimes feel a bit sorry for like normies or people who don't follow this stuff, because what on earth must they be thinking is going on, right? As for Brian Armstrong, yeah, I don't know what that guy's deal with. I don't rate him. I think he's a bad actor. Possibly even a psyop. I think he'll be the first one to bend over when the US government comes and says we need to take hold of that Bitcoin. Brian will have already lubed himself up waiting for that to happen, right? So I just can't take the guy seriously. He's pointing out something that everybody already knows, and like you said, just the day before he announced that he's listing Fartcoin on his exchange along with some other shit coins. So as far as I'm concerned, like, man, we talk about this guy like so often on the show, right? Because he hangs around like a bad smell. So kind of makes sense that he would list Fartcoin, right? I don't take this guy particularly seriously, because in one day you're launching Fartcoin and then the next day you're making a very serious point about US government debt. It's just like, guy, man, who are you? Like, what are you all about? So yeah, he's right for once. I guess a broken clock is right at least twice a day. So yeah, Brian agreeing with the rest of us. But like Tony says, man, this is only going one way now. And in my bones, I feel it. Like, if you're not sorting yourself out now, it feels like we're at the end game. It really feels close now. Now, can they extend the life of this for 5 years? Me and my dad, right, back in 2008, thought this is the big one. And they somehow managed to print their way out of it and keep the Ponzi going. So maybe they'll pull that off again. But man, I'm not hanging around to find out. I'm not sitting in dollars, not sitting in pounds. It's Bitcoin only. And also not Bitcoin IOUs, because they're all going to get absolutely rinsed as well. And your Bitcoin on Coinbase, that's going to go bye-bye. The Bitcoin you loaned out to lenders to get some fiat, that's going goodbye. And everyone's going to think that I'm like some crazy tinfoil hat person. I've just reached that point. I don't care anymore. Like, do it. Give your Bitcoin to someone else. Hand over your keys. And yeah, reap the rewards of that really, really bad decision.
Man, I think the world's about to learn the most painful lesson in the universe now. And like, we're actually alive to witness something this catastrophic, unfortunately. You can't fix it. Man, 25% of your spending is just on the interest rate. Like, what fucking miracle are you expecting to happen to get yourself out of this mess? They know this. This is why you see all sorts of absurdities going on a daily basis, because they don't know what to do. Like, what can you do? You're completely out of options. So they do what they do best, distract you with other shit so that you don't pay attention that your life is about to get completely annihilated. And then when it does, oh, well, we're all in the same boat. But are we really? Because in the back, those that understand this, well, you know, they're opting out. Bitcoin in self-custody, the real options that exist. But you keep the masses completely ignorant and oblivious to the answer that is staring them right in the face. That is the magic trick that's being played right now. And so I'm hoping by some miracle as well that more people, you know, wake up, because that window of time now, it was tiny. Now it's just been halved. So I don't know, man. God help us. Brace yourself.
Yeah. I want to leave a quick comment on something that I said, I think, the other day on Banter. We were talking about these lending products and everything. And I said, you know, or at least offline, we were talking about it. And I said, I think most people are going to get wrecked. I think some people, like if they really do it responsibly, I think it can work. I think it's just generally a bad idea because most people don't understand the risks. I think if things blow up and you're in those products, I think you're in major trouble. So that's the other, like, that's the other counterparty risk to it all is the US government. It's not just regulation. It's not just a hack or you know, your LTV getting out of whack and you get liquidated. Like if things blow up and the government gets desperate, like, and you have Bitcoin that's accessible to them, you can kiss it goodbye. So I think that's something that people need to keep in mind. It's not just, it is the exchanges, but it's not just the exchanges. You know, it is all of these, you know, collaborative custody solutions where they could shut down their proprietary app and you can't move your Bitcoin. It's also all of the other custodians who might have, you know, your ETFs or, you know, Bitcoin in a multi-sig because you're taking out a loan or whatever. So there are a ton of risks if shit really hits the fan in the near term. And I that's, it's not a non-zero probability. Like it is a non-zero probability. You need to account for that sort of thing. And just based on everything we're talking about right now, I think people need to really consider it strongly. So, alrighty, we've got, we're just kind of continuing the debt discussion. So James Lavish had a good point to all of this. He said the reality, so Secretary Bessent, insists the U.S. will never default on its debt. And he said the U.S. soft defaults on its debt every day through structural inflation, the perpetual debasement of the U.S. dollar. And that's, you know, that's what a default is. So, and Tony, I think that was sort of the point you were making in Lebanon, is I don't know that they ever quote unquote defaulted on their debt. They hyperinflated away and probably paid down the debt with worthless, you know, Lebanese currency or whatever. And they can technically claim some sort of moral superiority. It's not a default. It's, you know, it's not.
No, they technically defaulted at some point. Yeah, of course. They officially defaulted because that's it, man. Like, how long are you going to keep the bullshit going?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you say that U.S. will never default, you know, but I've heard this song many times. So maybe it'll take longer for the U.S., but you are definitely going to default because there's just no way out of this mess. In fact, you're already defaulted, just not officially. But that's just like a technicality. You have to be completely retarded to think that you are not in trouble here.
No, I hear you. My point with the U.S. not defaulting is that the way that they're going to default isn't going to be, we're simply not going to pay you back. It's that we're going to print a ton of money and pay
but
you
that's
back.
Worse.
With,
that's
no,
worse.
I'm not saying it's worse.
That's
I'm just
worse.
Saying, I'm just saying on a technicality, I don't think the U.S. says, hey, sorry, we can't pay you back. They just pay you back and you take a 50% haircut on what you actually thought you were getting out of it because they give you worthless, more and more worthless dollars. So I do agree with that. Rick, what's your thought on the soft default? I think we've
I think the situation in Lebanon and the situation in the US is ever so slightly different. I think Lebanon definitely defaulted because probably a lot of their debt was denominated in dollars. And Lebanon can't print dollars, right? So they could print a load of Lebanese pounds, but nobody wants them and they can't pay the debt off with it. So they only had the default option. The interesting thing about the US is because you have the reserve currency and the debt's denominated in that currency, then technically, yes, you can avoid a default by just printing out the wazoo. Here's the thing. Both options are terrible, right? So I don't even really have a strong opinion on which is better. If you default on the debt, carnage. If you hyperinflate, carnage. So the default here is that we're headed towards total carnage. And how we get there, maybe even hyperinflation is less painful because it's slightly slower. I don't really know. You'd have to live through either version and then tell me which one was better. And at that point, you're kind of comparing two terrible things. It's kind of a bit academic and a bit pointless. But America's already insolvent. The UK is insolvent. Like all these Western nations are already insolvent. We're just waiting for it to blow up in our faces, you know? And I really don't think it's long. I mean, Trump has kind of done this 360 because someone sat him down and explained, listen, Trump, man, we are so far in the shit. There's nothing you're going to do about this. So then he has to come up with a narrative, doesn't he? He has to come up with a narrative. Oh, I've always agreed with Elizabeth Warren. She's right. And he'll use the narrative of saying, because we don't want to shut down the government because it's disruptive and da-da-da-da-da. But what they're not really telling you is, like, we don't have a choice. The printer's going on. So I think James Labish is right. They're already doing, like, a soft default. You know, they're already insolvent, just printing more dollars to get themselves out of trouble. Bad news. Got to get out of the way. I mean, we say it all the time, but it's frightening to me how few people are taking action on this, especially with what's going on. Like, look around you. It's absolutely wild out there. So I think there's still time to save yourself. There's still time to take action. There's still time to get some Bitcoin, put it in self-custody, start living on a Bitcoin standard. And you will, genuinely, even though Bitcoin's 100K, it's not 100 quid anymore. It's 100K. If you just start now and slowly start saving in Bitcoin, you can actually massively improve your quality of life in quite a short amount of time. Actually, I'll share something a bit personal here, which is, look, I lost everything roughly 2 years ago, something like that, right? Since I got hacked and all my Bitcoin got taken. But because of what I'd learned about Bitcoin, I started again from scratch, completely on a Bitcoin standard. Nothing else, like not going to pursue anything else. And it's amazing. Like, I'm not back to where I was, far, far from it. But what I can see is constant progress, right? Because I can build my wealth slowly over time and store it. And when I look around at other people, I think what they're doing is they're slowly drowning. So it's not like I'm not becoming like incredibly rich overnight, right? Because I'd need Bitcoin to 100x for that to happen. But what I'm not doing is slowly drowning. I'm able to just lay bricks one on top of the other and start improving my life. So, you know, I think people are reticent because they feel like they've missed out or something. And I'm here to tell you, you really can't. It's very simply a choice between like going steadily downhill or going steadily uphill. It's that simple. I think people approach it like, I've got to make this money overnight. It doesn't really work like that. So hopefully the news will push people in the right direction. But my fear is there's a load of goblins, right, who are waiting for you to figure out that you need Bitcoin, and then they wait there just as you're about to buy some Bitcoin and start offering you bullshit instead to distract you, like buy my stock or, you know, let us hold the Bitcoin for you. And like all these traps, you have to navigate those first, get into self-custody, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with that more. I think the fallacy that people have when they look at Bitcoin is, until you dig in, you think of it as an investment and you're like, oh, I missed Nvidia. Like, you know, it went to the moon and like, I didn't jump on it low enough or whatever. So like, I'm not going to play around. Like, that's not what you're buying with Bitcoin is money. You're exchanging bad money for good money, and you're exchanging bad money for the good money of the future. Like in 20 years, it's not that you're going to be like, oh, good, like, I'm glad I got to sell my Bitcoin for so much because I got in at 100K. You're going to be like, I'm glad I was able to purchase this with dollars, so now I can use it to live my life and live my life more peacefully and live my life more prosperously. So it's just, it's a total, I think, Tony, you've raised this point all day. It's just like this total mindset shift. You need to like just flip that switch. And
people
and
stand in their own way, really. I mean, that's what I've gathered. Most people stand in their own way. Like, you tell them about Bitcoin, automatically think, oh, it's too good to be true. So they avoid it just based on that premise. It's too good to be true. Or, oh, it's too expensive now. It's not for me. Leave it for like the companies or the government. Why is it not for you? You don't need to buy an entire Bitcoin. You can buy as much as you want from it. You know, it's like almost like being like a deer in headlights. You know, that's how I see normie brains. They're deer in headlights. They see the train coming right for them, and they just, you know, have their eyes wide open, but they don't move, even though they just have to take one step to the left and avoid complete calamity. I don't know how to explain this, man. Honestly, it's like a phenomenon that, you know, I have no answer for. And this is not coming from people that I don't know. I mean, this is coming from people that I've known all my life and I know have the means to help themselves. They just don't, because they think, you know, their life is still pretty much okay and it'll always be that way. That is the dangerous delusion that so many people, especially those that still have some money, those are the ones that are going to get wrecked the most. And so what do you tell someone like this? You know, like, you can't force someone to do something, right? Yes. So the best you can do is give your advice and just walk away and just let them learn that lesson in whichever way it comes to them, which is going to be a very brutal, brutal one.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Alrighty, up next, speaking of incompetent government, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted out, "Full transparency, I did not know this section, blah, 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 of the OBBB that strips states of the right to make laws or regulate AI for 10 years. I'm adamantly opposed, et cetera, et cetera. I would have voted no if I had known this was in there." Rick, you had a great point about this. So basically, the long story short, the what the law is, what she missed and is opposed to, is completely irrelevant. The point we're making here is the fact that she doesn't know what she voted for. Rick, take it away.
Yeah, man, listen, I have a lot of sympathy. It's like saying I read a contract. I signed this contract, but I didn't read it. Well, what? What do you do? What do you mean? What do you mean? This is driving me absolutely fucking crazy. I got to be honest, right? Like, we are ruled by the least amongst us, right? Look at these morons, like, running around. Oh, I signed a bill. Now I've read it. I don't like it. I wish I hadn't signed it. It's like, what, are you 7 years old? Like, really? This is unbelievable. And the funniest thing about it, the most ironic thing about it, is she probably could have saved herself some time and got to the basis by just running it through Grok or an AI engine. And AI would have told her what was in it. And then she could have made an informed decision before signing it. I don't really have a strong opinion on this. Like, politicians are hapless, useless morons who don't have any right to preside over us or decide what technologies are dangerous or not dangerous or what we should use or what we shouldn't use. Just get the hell out of the way. She doesn't know the first thing about AI. I doubt she knows the first thing about, like, living a normal life. These people are so deluded and so far removed from the things that they feel like they have authority to talk about. You know, go and spend 20 minutes with her and ask, what do you actually know about AI? You know, she'll throw a tweet out saying, oh, it could be dangerous. All right, well, explain your position then. Defend your argument. What is it that you're so worried about? Because otherwise, you just sound like one of those morons who was, like, scared of electricity back in the day. Or, you know, you're a guy who works the canals, right? So you're terrified of the train. It's like, yeah, technology moves on. And most technologies can be used for good or bad, right? Like, I could take a kitchen knife and chop up a salad for you, but I could also take a kitchen knife and do something evil with it. Same goes for a transit van, the internet. I mean, criminals use the internet all the time, right? So, like, I get more nervous about politicians saying we need to be in control of this and decide what you want to do than I am scared of just letting technology find its own way. So she's a Muppet. I would be too embarrassed. If I was her, I'd be embarrassed to put that sort of stuff out there. It's so uninformed and meaningless. I mean, how do these people get into power? There you go. I mean, maybe we just put AI in charge, because this woman is an absolute waste of time.
Tony, Rick, if you want some banter, I have to disagree that using a kitchen knife to chop up a salad is anything but bad. If you're using it to cut up a ribeye, that is acceptable. Tony, though, what do you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene not reading the bill?
Man, there's nothing more dangerous than a stupid person. So, and she's just like one example of them. Can you imagine how many of these cockroaches are around the globe? Like, why do we need these people? Like, who decided that this is the way the world's supposed to be run? You know, we've been brainwashed to accept this, but who needs these people? So now that we have an alternative, all of this is becoming like crystal clear, at least to a large number of us, not to the majority, but to a large enough number of folks that I think in and of itself can already start making a difference. You can't go to war with them, but you can't ignore them. You know, like you can just neuter their power simply by just dismissing them entirely. And the more people you get on this train, the bigger force and influence you have. And before you know it, you know, it's like getting rid of a bully. Like, what are you going to do? You either beat them up or you just ignore them completely so that any efforts they make become laughable, right? So these people, that's all they are. They're parasites in society. They absolutely offer zero value as far as I'm concerned. And it's becoming abundantly clear. I mean, this mishap, like what kind of a person signs something, votes on something without knowing what it is? Can you imagine how many things have been passed in the judicial system where nobody's even read it? And then you wonder why things are not fair. You know, we have this like everywhere. It's plain sight.
Crazy. Peak clown world. Alrighty, guys, last one for us today. So everyone's heard about Trump and Elon Musk's big fallout. And I don't know the order of operations here, but what it ultimately led to was Elon Musk tweeting, "Time to drop the really big bomb. Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they have not been made public." And he signs off with, "Have a nice day, DJT. So, I don't even know what to, I told you guys offline, I said, the only thing worse than having these two guys, you know, involved in government would have maybe been the alternative and having Kamala and Tim Walz as president and vice president. But we haven't been dealt a good hand here. They're both childish and it's just silly. I don't know. Rick, I'll let you take this one first because you had some comments offline about, you think maybe this is concocted. We can kind of take this a lot of different ways. What do you think?
And the whole thing is a total pantomime, right? I actually genuinely believe 90% of this stuff is just scripted now. They are trying to create crazy distractions. Like this will dominate the news now for 2 or 3 weeks, right? And what we won't be talking about is the fact that the debt ceiling's gone and that we're going to print loads of money and we're absolutely buggered, right? So the things I notice, you know, with my tinfoil hat on is there is always this divide and conquer, right? Are you left wing or are you right wing? Are you vaccinated? Are you unvaccinated? Are you on Donald Trump's team or are you on Elon's team? And it is almost quite transparent, if you ask me, that these are just fabricated narratives to keep people fighting, keep people distracted and keep people from the solutions that might actually set them free, like, I don't know, stacking Bitcoin or growing your own food or producing your own electricity. It's actually easier than you think to live off grid and like not have to deal with these monsters. But they don't want you to find those sorts of solutions. They'd much rather you picked a team and then just spend all day on Twitter screaming at each other, right? And I think, well, let's just rip the Band-Aid off, right? Because this is one of my last banters with you gentlemen, right? So I may as well cancel myself here. But like, what I really think is people need to wake up to the fact that they are free-range humans living on a tax farm, paying money to an elite group of pedophiles that all run the world. That's the way I see the world. That's what I think is going on. And I think we're not even talking about certain groups or certain interests that are really in charge. So look, if everyone wants to keep playing around in the kiddies pool and picking their favorite politician or picking their favorite billionaire and following them or doing whatever, I think they're wasting their time. I mean, I've seen pictures of Elon Musk hanging out with Ghislaine Maxwell at parties, right? So my guess is they're all at these parties and they're probably there with Diddy with, you know, plenty of bottles of baby liquid and God knows what else. And I want nothing to do with these heathens. these absolute demons that run around, think that they have influence over us. Like screw them all. Screw them all. I don't want to deal with them anymore. And Bitcoin gives you that option to just say, do you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with clown world. I'm done with being told I must have this injection. I'm done with being told I have to speak this way. I'm done with my free speech being curtailed. I'm leaving this crazy matrix. And anyone who's still getting wrapped up in the picking a side, getting into debates and arguments are just wasting time. Because as Tony said, this time that you've got now to set yourself free is running out. So if you're busy worrying about what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are bickering about, I think you're missing the bigger picture here, that you need to get out of the way of this.
Rick, sometimes I wish you weren't so shy and you'd speak your mind. Tony.
Yeah, man, I think Rick summed it up
really,
really well.
The one man who can one-up Rick right now. The one man who can one-up it. Let's hear what you got.
Rick was spot on so many things, but this is, to me as well, it's all a distraction. You know, there's a far more nuclear problem going on, and that is the collapse of the monetary system. That is the most devastating bomb anybody can have land on their lives. And that's exactly what's happening. And all of these theatrics are, I guess, at least in my opinion, attempts to keep you looking in the other direction until the day comes where you have no choice. So you can completely ignore these people. We finally have an option to opt out. It's a real option. It's not a fairy tale anymore. Bitcoin exists. It's not going anywhere. These people know it, unfortunately, as well. And they are stacking it while keeping you distracted and offering you all these garbage financial services using marketing as a buzzword. Don't fall for it. Hold the Bitcoin yourself in self-custody, whatever the amount. You don't need to hold an entire Bitcoin. Whatever you can accumulate is going to be far more impactful than you can possibly imagine right now, because it's the one thing that no one, no human soul can manipulate or corrupt, and it's finite in supply from now to eternity. So TikTok, guys, you know, this is not a joke anymore. It's definitely not a drill. And all of this nonsense that we're seeing unfold, these are the signs of the end. Like when it gets that crazy, you know it's because there's nothing else left to do. So, I don't know, man. Let's wait and see.
I think that's a good send-off. Rick, Tony, thank you guys both. For everyone tuning in, stick around for another minute. Listen to some of the ways the Bitcoin Way can help. We'd really appreciate that. Rick, it's been an honor and a pleasure getting to work with you, man. Love these banters, and maybe we'll have you back on sometime in the future. But guys, thanks for everything.
Absolutely, guys. See you soon.
Thanks,
guys. See you soon. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.